Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Welcome to Berean Bible Fellowship. As we continue to seek to honor and to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the truth of His Word. Last time that we were together, we began to look at Genesis chapter 3. And we saw how sin entered into this world through Adam and Eve, the man and the woman that God had created. And we saw how sin came forth into this world. Sin that found its origin on that day in the Garden of Eden, sin that is still with us today, sin that is a part of who we are, sin that dominates this world, and sin that sometimes dominates us as well, sin that is rebellion against God. Sin that brings suffering and pain and death to all of us. And it all began in the Garden of Eden. And we also saw how the devil, who was disguised as a serpent, as a reptile, how he deceived Eve and how he led her into rebellion against the word of God. And then we saw how she influenced her husband, Adam, to join in her rebellion, to join in her sin. And the last time that we were together, we left Adam and Eve standing there in the garden. Their eyes had been opened to the shame of their nakedness, to the shame of their sin. And we saw how they attempted to cover themselves with fig leaves to hide their shame. They may have been able to cover their bodies, but they could not cover their sin against God. He sees it all. And as we're reminded in John chapter 8, verse 44, it is the devil, who is also called Satan, who is the enemy of our souls, who is the father of lies, who is the one who continually seeks to influence us to lie to ourselves and to lie to others concerning God and concerning who we are before God, how He sees us. The enemy seeks to plant those lies in our minds so that we doubt God, so that we doubt His goodness towards us, so that we doubt His love for us, so that we doubt His provision for us. And so, we make bad decisions because we doubt God and we choose to rely on ourselves. And so, we sin against Him. And on that day in the Garden of Eden, it is an understatement to say that Adam and Eve made a very bad decision on that day when they ate of the fruit of the tree that God had commanded them not to eat. And though many times our sin has consequences in this life alone, the sin of Adam and Eve also had divine consequences as well. And like them, our sin can also have divine consequences. Consequences that will affect us all the way into eternity. And so, it says in verse 8 of Genesis chapter 3, as they were there in the garden, perhaps wondering, well, now what? What were they to do next? They heard a familiar sound. They heard the sound of the footsteps of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Ruach in Hebrew. As he was walking there towards evening, as the sun was setting, and as perhaps he did at other times. And though at other times there was fellowship between God and the man and the woman, things were different now. Now, because of their sin, there was no fellowship. There was only fear. And so they ran away from him because they knew that they had done wrong in his sight. It had been a terrible day, a day that did not end well for them. And so the man and the woman hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, panim in Hebrew. They hid themselves from his face so that they would not have to face God and give an account of themselves to him. So they tried to hide themselves, we're told, among the trees of the garden as the darkness of night was approaching. But as many of us well know, we cannot hide from the presence of God. As the psalmist also points out in Psalm 139, where he says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed down in the place of the dead, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn and I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there, your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light around me will become night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. So buried under the avalanche of their sin, and seeing no way out of their situation, what did they do? They headed in the wrong direction, didn't they? They didn't run to God. They ran away from him. And they attempted to hide themselves from God. So, God takes the initiative, as he always does. He seeks to rescue them. He seeks them so that he might pull them up out of the rubble of their shame and of their sin and of their corruption. And their part is just like our part. We need to acknowledge our sin before God. We need to take responsibility for our sin. But sadly, many people today still try to hide from their sin as they attempt to hide themselves from God. How? By either denying that he exists at all, or by redefining him in their mind so that he reflects their perception of him. And they imagine a God of their own creation. So then, we're told in verse 9, in love and in compassion, God called out to the man, kara in Hebrew. He cried out to him. His voice filled the garden. And he said to him, where are you? Why would you run away from the only one who can help you? Why would you run away from the only one who can save you? And Adam responded to God, and he said to him, in verse 10, yes, I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, but I was afraid. Yare, in Hebrew. I was terrified of you. But he had never been afraid of God before, so why now? Because sin brings fear. It brings shame. I was afraid, he said, because I was naked. Well, he was naked except for those fig leaves. So he said, I hid myself. God said to them, who told you that you were naked? Well, no one had to tell them that they were naked. Adam and Eve knew what they had done. Their eyes had been open to good and evil. Their eyes had been open to their sin. But amazingly, there were no tears of sorrow for what they had done. There were no tears of repentance, were there? None from Adam or from Eve. So God asked them a question in order to draw out the truth from them. And so in verse 11, he says to them, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Salah in Hebrew. You were under orders. So what have you done? A simple question. That only required a simple answer, but it required the truth. But instead of answering that question, the man shifted the blame away from himself, and he said, in verse 12, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree. And I ate of that fruit. But God, let's think about this for a moment. As you will recall, I fell asleep. And when I woke up, I was married to this woman. I'm the victim here. She is the one who is to blame. So much for unity, right? But in reality, God, you're to blame because you designed this woman to be with me. She is what she is because of you. That sounds like dangerous logic, doesn't it? But the fact is that today, that is what many people say. They blame God for their sin. They blame God for their lives. They blame God for all of it. Then in verse 13, the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? Give me your perspective on this situation. And the woman did not take responsibility for her actions either. She too shifted the blame away from herself. And so she said, the serpent, that reptile, He deceived me, and so I ate. I'm the victim here. He is the one who is to blame. And then in verse 14, the Lord said to the serpent, to the reptile, to the animal himself, he said to him, because you have done this, cursed are you out of all of the cattle on the earth and out of every beast of the field. And though you were only being used by the enemy, you will be used as a reminder of the sin that has come upon this earth. On your belly shall you crawl, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And this will be a reminder of the humiliation that will fall upon Satan forever. As we're told in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 25, where it says that even in the millennial kingdom of Christ, dust shall be the food of the serpent. So every time that we see a snake crawling on its belly across the ground, it is a reminder that God has defeated the enemy. Just like the rainbow is a reminder that God will never destroy the earth in a flood again. And then to Satan himself, in verse 15, God declares, you wanted to assert power in heaven. You wanted to assert power on earth, but nothing except devastation and reproach will fall upon you forever. But in verse 15, we also have the first glimmer of hope. Hope for all of us. Hope in this fallen world. Hope that is found in the curse that is upon Satan, where God says to him, I will put enmity, eva in Hebrew. I will put deep and lasting hostility between you and the woman, the one through whom a savior will come into this world in order to defeat sin. This battle has just begun. A savior who will conquer death. And I will put this hostility between your seed, between those who belong to you, and her seed, between those who will come to the Messiah for the salvation of their souls. A conflict which rages even today. And he shall bruise you on your head. Shuf in Hebrew. He will crush you. He will deliver a death blow to you. And in that struggle, at the cross, in the hour of the power of darkness, you shall bruise him on the heel, a blow from which he will recover. He will rise from the dead in victory. And as it says in Romans 16:20, through Christ Jesus our Lord, we will crush Satan under our feet forever.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.